Welcome to Market View with Ike Iosa and friends. This show that not only reveals and analyzes the inside story on today's market news, but also uncovers the areas where investors can make money right now.
Good evening. Mike Iosa, your host for Mike Meets the Guest. My very good friend, Mr. Mike Swanson. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, Ike. Good to talk with you.
Good talking with you, too. Mike, last time we spoke, you had zeroed in on two things. The poor performance by the IWM, the Russell 2000 ETF, and the toppy look of J&K, the ETF for high yield. And at the time, you had said that looking at these two charts, the market in general was going to run into trouble a few weeks later, which is actually exactly how things unfolded with January now behind us. I'm curious to hear your thoughts going forward and the charts, the market sectors that now have your attention.
I'm going to talk first about the big picture, then what it looks like could be happening at the moment in this month of February, because we just had one of the worst Januaries ever for the stock market. But to understand what's happened, I think it's useful to look at this first chart, which is the percentage of stocks above their 200-day moving average. And this indicator, to me, began to fade in June and July. You can't really see that now, but that's the way things were appearing to me at the time. And I actually got more cautious on the market just because of this. And I went to I entered 2021 like 70% invested, and I went to 50% invested by the end of June. I didn't think, well, everything's just going to collapse or something instantly, but and I don't think that's about to happen now. But it's just made my outlook a lot more cautious. And today, as we're speaking, only 40% of stocks on the New York Stock Exchange are above the 200-day moving average. So, and that's with the recent rally we've had in the past week. So to me, the market inside, the internals are still very negative. Most stocks, the majority stocks, are already in bear markets. And I define a bear market is one where you're trading below the 200-day moving average, and that moving average is actually trending down and acting as resistance. So, in other words, much of the stock market is in a bear market now. And the Russell 2000 is the index. I wouldn't say the S&P and Dow are in bear markets. I think they're transitioning into one. But the Russell 2000, I think, is in one. You know, it's lagging the S&P 500. I've got on the chart of that, on the bottom, the ratio indicator, it peaked in March, the relative strength indicator for the Russell compared to the S&P, March of last year, and has been declining ever since. And it broke down in December. Well, it hit support in December, and the S&P and NASDAQ, you know, made new highs by New Year's. This didn't. In fact, it then quickly rolled over, and now we're pretty far away from the 200-day moving average, almost 10% below it, even with the recent rally in the market over the past 10 days or so. So, again, this is kind of verifying what's going on, the percentage of stocks above the 200-day moving average in a way. But, I don't see any sign that this is going to end. And if I click to the next chart, this is LQD, which is the high-grade corporate bond ETF. J&K is the junk bond ETF. And this is made in, you know, it's below the low of last year already as we speak, and below the 200-day and 150-day moving average. J&K has a similar chart. And when I look at this, this looks to me like it's in a bear market, you know, rolling over. And that's kind of what to be expected. You know, interest rates are going up, or set to go up. We have high inflation, much higher than what the 10-year treasury bond is at. And that's all negative for bonds. But more important is that in 2020, when the Federal Reserve lowered rates to zero and began the quantitative easing operation, or a gigantic one, we saw a secular low in interest rates in 2020. And because yields trade opposite the bonds, I think that means we saw a secular peak in the value of LQD and J&K, in a bearish trend for years is really inevitable from there. And I think that's also impacting many individual stocks, you know, because companies, you know, have to borrow money, and if they don't have high earnings or more speculative, that can really hurt them. And I think we're just starting to see the effects of that. And then if I go to the next chart, oh, this is gold. I would like to comment with gold that it's trading less volatile than the stock market. It has been doing that for quite some time. It's still stuck in a trading range. If you look at the 200-day Bollinger Bands, the upper part of the range is 1884, and we briefly went through 1850 last month. So I'm looking for a breakout of that, right? You know, through that resistance zone sometime this year, and that would set the stage for a tremendous gold run, and I think weakening bonds at some point can help be a driver of that. So to me, that's at this point the most attractive trading opportunity I see. That said, the last chart I got is the DBA Agriculture ETF, and it's making a new high today. I have a core position in it in my retirement account and in a main investment account, but it's owns a basket of soft commodities, and just as the yields made a secular low in 2020, I believe commodities made a secular bottom in 2020 when we saw the oil futures market briefly go negative, and we've been going up ever since. And if you look at the relative strength indicator on the bottom of this chart, you can see this long, you know, base, I guess, where it's been in a range, and it looks like it could break to the upside of this range, and it's doing that. You don't see what happened from 2010 to 2020, but it was in a 10-year long bear market. Now, I'm not necessarily advocating or trying to suggest this is going to just take off and double in a year, go crazy, but that commodities rising, is there's no sign that it's ending. The relative strength of commodities versus stock market looks like it's going to break out. At this point, I think gold and silver are the most profitable trades to play on that trend. But so these are all kind of the big picture things I'm looking at. As far as the short term, you know, we've had this market rally over the past week or so. It's gone with the S&P and the Dow into the 200-day moving averages. You know, the chart looks better than what we see with the Russell. But the way things feel to me, on one hand, the psychological feel I get from what people are saying, most people, reminds me a lot of what happened in December of 2007, because the market had tipped into a bear market, completed a stage three top, or was doing it, and we had a rally in December, the first rally, back up into these moving averages, just like what is happening now. And very few people were really bearish, and individual investors certainly were not. So that's a similar feel, moment it kind of reminds me of. However, I'm not trying to suggest it's going to fall like it did in 2008 or play out the same way. I get the feeling that the market, I kind of suspect it might just do much of nothing here for the next couple of weeks and float. All right, you know, the S&P might float around the 50-day moving average, or float around its moving averages, and just maybe trend very slowly down to the low it set last month. You know, over the next 6 to 8 weeks, but nothing really dramatic really take place. It's kind of how it feels to me.
Mike, anything else that you'd like to add?
Two thoughts, you know, just to reiterate the importance of these bond ETFs. I mean, LQD is making a new low today. J&K, you know, is it a new close? If it closes where it is, well, it closed today at a new closing low. And, you know, I don't think that's going to be healthy for the market if these trends continue. At the same time, and I think the bonds are more important than what happens to the NASDAQ, frankly. But that said, you know, this year we've also seen something very dramatic happen. And that is the FANG complex blow up. Netflix gapped down 20% one day in January. Facebook just did it last week. And if I look, you know, Apple is strong. You know, the chart is above the 200-day moving average. Amazon is below its 200-day moving average. Google is strong, gapped up to a new high the other week or last week. But three of the FANG stocks are below the 200-day moving average. Two of them have blown up. Facebook is still going down, so it doesn't look like it's bottom. And these five stocks have led the bull market since 2009. And when you have the bull market leaders break down like this overall, I think you got to say the bull market is over. And I think the internals were telling this was coming, the end of the bull market. And I think we're making a transition into a more bearish market. But that transition, I think, is sort of happening in slow motion.
Mike, thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you. Good talking.